Now let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Amos. So you may have to look at your index to find the book of Amos. It's one of the minor prophets, of course, in the Old Testament. And I want you to find chapter 7. So in Amos chapter 7 and verse number 10. And they're up in the northern kingdom. It's kind of important to understand this. Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel is the northern kingdom. And Amos has gone from the southern kingdom up to the northern kingdom to preach to them. And so Amaziah, the priest, comes to him to speak to him. And so that's the occasion. I'm going to refer back to this passage. So Amos chapter 7 and verse 10.
Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. For thus saith Amos, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of his land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thou away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a royal house. Then answered Amos, and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman, and a dresser of sycamore trees. And Jehovah took me from following the flock, and Jehovah said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of Jehovah. Thou sayest, Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith Jehovah, Thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou thyself shalt die in a land that is unclean, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of his land.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to the 4th chapter of Paul's letter to Timothy, which is 2 Timothy, the last chapter. When you ask a question about who you are and what you are, I think of the same thing for our church. So I ask this question, what is the message and what is the method of a sovereign grace church? Well, I think it's summed up in these three words in verse number 2, just very simply stated, preach the word, preach the word. Others have said that the way we should preach is as a dying man to dying men. So I preach to you today as a dying man, and I preach to you as dying men and women. Paul is telling Timothy to preach the word with all readiness. Notice in verse 1 he says, I give you a charge. And that charge is in verse 1 and 2. This will be our last message on these verses. This is our third one. I'm going a little slow. I guess I hate to leave the letter of 2 Timothy, so we're going a little slow here. But this is a charge, his last one. And he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, his visible kingdom. So what you see in verse 1 is in light of judgment, in light of coming and approaching judgment, preach the word. And then he said, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, verse 2 is a series of commands or imperatives. First imperative is preach the word. The second one is be instant in season. The third one is be instant out of season. The next is reprove and then rebuke and then exhort. So you have this series of commands or exhortations here in this verse. I brought a message a couple of weeks ago trying to explain why I preach Jesus Christ. And I preach him because he is our righteousness, he is our propitiation, he is our peace, He is our sanctification, and He is our Redeemer. I won't go over that again, but He said, preach. And that word means to announce or to declare in order to persuade and to call to the message being preached. He gives us the content. Preach the word. In Galatians 6, Paul said, let him that is taught in the word. And in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6, he said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, and have received the word. So he looks upon this as this one settled body of truth, the word. Now what I'm going to do before I move further into this verse is give you some descriptive words of preaching. We spend so much time preaching. That's the center piece of all we do. We sing a little, we read the scripture a little, we pray, and then we preach. Most of our time is spent preaching. So I'm going to give you a series of words. All of these words end in L-Y. So yesterday I asked my wife, I said, what do you think about this list? And would you add anything to it? So I gave her my list, the list I'm about to give you. This is a list that would describe the way we ought to preach. And the word she gave was briefly. That's what she thought, was preaching ought to be done briefly. So she's heard enough preaching over the years that I can understand why she had felt that way. Well, the first thing I'm going to say to you that would describe the way we ought to preach is a man ought to preach willingly. It ought to be done not for money's sake. It ought not to be done as a career. It ought to be done not by an imposition upon him, but it ought to be done willingly. Not as a fleeing Jonah who tried to get away from preaching, but as Amos. We read of Amos a few moments ago, where Amos said to the priest Amaziah, I hope you paid careful attention to those words, because Amaziah was there in behalf of the king. So here is a priest who sold out his soul to the political side of things. And he's trying to get Amos not to preach. And Amos responded and said, I was no prophet. I was no son of a prophet. Rather, I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. In other words, I was a farmer. But the Lord took me. And the Lord took me from following the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, and I want you to preach unto my people in the northern kingdom. Preach unto Israel. And what Amos was telling him was that God called me. I'm going to do it. I'm willing to do it. I'm not here because somebody is paying me to do it. Somebody is forcing me to do it. I come to you as a willing preacher. So that's the first thing. A preacher ought to be a willing preacher. The second thing I would say is that he ought to preach clearly. Not like the smooth false prophets, but as a faithful workman. I make a contrast between what Isaiah said in chapter 30 and verse 10, where they said, prophesy not unto us right things. Isaiah don't preach to us right things, but speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Prophesy so that we're happy with it, so that we're pleased with it. Prophesy to us so that we are satisfied with your words. Preach those smooth things. Well, there are lots of smooth preachers around, are there not? But then what Paul said to Timothy was that you ought to be a workman approved of God, and a workman approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when you look at that, you may think that that means dividing truth from truth. But no, it means studying the word of God so that you lay it out in an orderly form so you can see it and understand it. When I first began to study the Bible as a young preacher, I was amazed when I came across books that made divisions, theological books or doctrine books, because I'd never been taught like that or understood like that. But that's what we are to do. We're to take the Bible and see, what does it say about God? What does it say about man? What does it say about salvation? What does it say about Christ? What does it say about the family? And study the Bible in light of all these things, rightly dividing the word of truth, and see how it all fits together. But then a third thing is that we ought to preach consistently. You remember what Isaiah said when he said, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. In that 28th chapter, in the 10th verse, when he makes that statement, he's repeating those things because he wants to make a point that preaching and teaching is preaching the same thing over and over and over again. We may say it in a little different way and begin at a different place, a different scripture, but actually, do we not always preach the same thing over and over again? It seems to me that I've been preaching the same message for these 25 plus years to you, over and over again, consistently. You don't have to wonder when you come, what is he going to be preaching about now? Willingly, clearly, consistently. And then the fourth thing I would say is that we ought to preach passionately. And the reason I say that is because I look at different places in the scripture. For example, concerning Paul in Acts 18, when he's in Corinth, that vile city, it was a wicked place to be. But it says that he was pressed in the Spirit. And that being pressed in the Spirit caused him to reason and to persuade and to testify. He was pressed in the Spirit. Whatever that means, it means there was a heaviness in his spirit to do that. And then of Jesus, it says that he said, my soul is troubled. So a preacher who preaches the gospel needs to have a sense of being pressed in the Spirit and troubled in his soul. If he can preach as if it is nothing more than a dissertation, then he's not caught what it means to be a preacher. And the congregation has not understood what it is to listen to a message. There's to be a passion about it. So preaching is to be done passionately. And then another thing that I would say is that he ought to preach boldly. And I say boldly because we're holding in our hands, we're declaring a message that the Bible says the Word of God, the same Word that Paul's talking about, is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it says that this Word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So this Word is designed to bring us under a conviction of right and wrong. It is to persuade us of error and bring us to truth. It is to take us away from darkness and bring us to light. This Word is powerful. So preach in a bold way, like a Daniel in the lion's den, or like a Moses before the Pharaoh, or like Paul before Felix, or like the Lord Jesus himself before his captors and before the powers of both the Romans and of the Jews, boldly, because this Word is always true. And then, not only willingly and clearly and consistently and passionately and boldly, but what about preaching prayerfully? Prayerfully. Shouldn't a message be bathed in prayer? Shouldn't a man, before he comes to preach, have spent some time praying for those who will hear? And shouldn't the congregation pray that this Word will go forth in a powerful way? Well, that has to do with prayer. In Luke 5, it says that Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. In Acts 26, it says that Jesus fell on his face and prayed. Well, if our Lord Jesus Christ would pray, surely we ought to pray. We ought to be men and women of prayer. Let me say another word about preaching. It ought to be done humbly. It ought to be done in a humble way. not to honor self or to honor men, but to honor the Lord. In John 12, in verse 43, John said of those who rejected the message of Jesus that they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. If a man ever gets to where he loves the praise of men more than the praise of God, oh, he's lost the spirit of preaching altogether. They love this selfish praise more than they love to praise God or that to hear others praise God. It wasn't in their heart what Isaiah said when he said that it took a sovereign God to even leave a very small remnant. Just a small little number was cut off from that great host in the northern and the southern kingdom. But if the Lord is sovereign in election from before the world's foundation, and He is sovereign in the justification of His people at the cross, and He is sovereign in His regeneration of those same ones in time, we ought to be moved and humble to know that we are nothing and He has done everything. It all rests on Him. And so preaching ought to be a humble work. And then, here's another thing. Preaching ought to be done relevantly in a relevant way. One of the first books I ever read on preaching when I was very young was Make Your Preaching Relevant. And I read the book and I've looked back at it several times. And I think the concept is true. So I ask myself when I think about that, well, what is relevant to a Sovereign Grace Church? Building a gym is not relevant to us, so I don't talk to you about having teams and building gym and playing things together. We're not trying to get up various kinds of activities. One of the ways of religion, of getting people involved, is to keep them active, to keep them doing things. What is relevant for a Sovereign Grace Church? Well, God is sovereign, is relevant. You want to hear that as much as you can. I can't tell you enough about God being sovereign. Your soul is like a sponge taking that in. If I tell you about man being depraved, I can't make it so that it's bad enough. No matter what I say, it doesn't describe what we are. We live in a fearsome day and we are a depraved people. And then if I tell you that Christ is all, that's relevant to you. You don't want me to tell you about how good man is. You want me to tell you Christ is all. If I tell you that the calling of the Spirit is effectual, you're happy with that. You know that you came because He called. You are here because He brought you. And if I tell you that providence is overseeing, I can't preach enough to you about providence being overseeing and overruling in your life from the time you get up till the time you go to bed, in your low points in life and in your high points, in your mountain peaks and in your valleys and all of your sorrows. I want you to know, and I'm going to tell you, God is sovereign and His providence is overruling. If I tell you Christ is coming, I don't know when He's coming, I don't know all about His coming, but I do know that He's coming. And you want to hear that. That's relevant. And then if I tell you the Scriptures are true, that is relevant. So in short, what is relevant to a Sovereign Grace Church? Preach the Word. Just preach the Word. And that's relevant to a Sovereign Grace Church. Willingly, clearly, consistently, passionately, boldly, prayerfully, humbly, relevantly. Let me give you one more. Thoughtfully. Preach thoughtfully. Paul said to Timothy, study. Well, the word study is a word that means to give thought to your subject matter. Study to show yourself a workman. A preacher who is lazy is not a Bible preacher. He is not preaching the Word. He must make the study of the Word fit into all he does. Now, for all these years, I've been working and studying and preaching over and over and over again. Sometimes I'm asked, when do you start on a message? Well, I've already started on next week. It isn't that I'm going to start. I've already started. I've already laid out, unless the Lord changes my mind, unless something happens, I know what I'm going to preach, and my mind is already working on it. I'm already getting together. I'm studying. I'm looking at words and looking at sources and studying. What does the Bible say about these things? Listen to what it says in Proverbs. It said, "Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding." Oh, that a preacher would have wisdom and understanding. Preaching is declaring and sharing and announcing the result of his study. Wisdom and happiness with all comes forth in that preaching, and all who have an ear will hear it. You can't see what I see, but I see on the faces of some happiness. All of you, I see happiness. But through the years, believe me, I've seen people turn up their nose, look with spite and anger. It looked to me like they're actually making faces at me. I don't know if they were or not. But I've had people that were not happy with what I thought and what I preached. But I just want you to know that I'm trying to be a thoughtful preacher, to study and bring God's Word to you. And it flows out of what I've thought and studied and prayerfully looked at all through the week. So all of those things describe what I think something about preaching, and you probably could add some of those words, and again, you probably wish that I'd think a little bit more about being briefly in my preaching. But then he said to us, be instant in season. Look at that in your Bible. Be instant in season and out of season. First of all, when he says instant, that is a word that means to stand near. That word is used in Luke 24 and verse 4, when it said the angels suddenly stood near. That word suddenly means it's the same as that word instant. They were there already. So he said, be instant. So instant. And then he uses a play on words here. Let me show you this. He said, be instant, and then you see in and out, in season and out of season. Now the word season is the word kairos. And the word kairos is the word for time. It's like the moving of the clock. It's time. He repeated that in both times the word season is translated. But all he did with those words was put a different prefix or preposition on the beginning of those words. So let me tell you what those words are. He put the prefix you on the beginning of the word kairos. So it's E-U and then kairos. And that word is the word for good. And it means good, opportune time or good opportunity or when the time is opportune. So anytime you have an opportunity, be ready right on the spot to declare the gospel. But he said also you need to be ready out of time. This time he put not a preposition, but just the letter A, which is called an alpha privative, on the beginning of that word kairos. And so it is no or without season or when the timing is not opportune. So what he's speaking of is the readiness of the mind and the readiness of the heart to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't suggest being aggravating and aggressive or obnoxious, but it suggests readiness. Skillfully and in a Christ-honoring way, tell what the gospel message is. That's what a pastor should do in his counseling, in his sermons, in his weddings, in his funerals. Many times you've heard me preach weddings and funerals, and I hope every time you've gone away thinking, well, he preached the gospel to us again. And I want to do that because in season and out of season, that's what we are to do. And then he gives us a series of words here, and I want you to think about these words, and this will bring us to a conclusion. He said, reprove, and that word means to convince of error and wrong. That word is used in Titus, where he says, holding the faithful fast the faithful word as he's been taught, they may be able with sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Convince is our word there, reprove or convince. And the word gainsayers is the word antilogos, those who speak against the word. So reprove in order that you may convince those who speak against the word. It also was used right up here in chapter 3 and verse 16 where he says the word of God is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. So he said, preach the word, reprove, that is, convince. The idea is to challenge in a graceful and biblical manner. And then he said, rebuke. And that word rebuke is to charge in light of the reproof. So both reprove and rebuke are words that are vitally important to us. But men, I'm going to make a suggestion to you. Do not try to reprove and rebuke your wife at home. You're going to be in big trouble if you try to tell them, well, I'm just doing what the Bible says. Reprove and rebuke. I suggest you leave that for another area of life. Reprove and rebuke. And then he goes ahead and he said, exhort. And the word exhort means to encourage. So he uses these words that we might think of as sort of a confrontational, reprove, rebuke. But then he goes ahead and he uses this word encourage, exhort. And then he gives this little phrase with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the word longsuffering means just what it says, to suffer long or to be forbearing and teaching. So here's the way I read this. He says reprove, rebuke, exhort. And then he uses these words longsuffering and doctrine. And he says perform these tasks in your preaching, but do it with softness. Do it with softness. We need to learn to speak to each other with softness. To make our point, but do it with softness. And try to convince with softness. I make my living from Monday till I come home, time I go to work. I do it with softness. I'm not a hammer convincing people, but I must convince people when they come to see me that they need my help, and I have the help they need. I must do it, but I do it with softness. This is one place I learned that, with longsuffering and with doctrine. I want you to turn with me to a place and I want to show you these words put together. I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 19. I'm about to run out of time, so let's hurry up here. In chapter 19, and if you'll look in verse 13, it says in 19:13, then there were brought unto Jesus little children, and he put his hands on them and to pray, and the disciples rebuked the little children. And Jesus said, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now when Jesus said, suffer the little children, that's reprove. When he said, forbid them not, that's rebuke. When he said, to come unto me, that's exhort. And he says, for such is the kingdom of heaven, that is forbearance and doctrine. In that one verse, we have all of these things that Paul just told us. Oh, we are to preach, but it is to be done in such a way that results in men believing the doctrine. Let a man know who is going to take upon himself the task of preaching, pastoring, and leading, that as James said, my brethren, be not many masters, that is, teachers, pastors, leaders, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. That's judgment both in this life and in the next. And I'm telling you, I've done this long enough that I know that is true. A pastor can please some of the people some of the time, but he cannot possibly please all of the people all of the time. It does not happen. No matter what, let us be a church that follows this word from the Scripture. Preach the word. Brethren, let your soul rest in grace and deal with one another, would you please? In grace, preach the word. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the truth of the scriptures. May we carry out the task of worship and preaching always in a biblical way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.